Chapter 12 in our series in the Gospel, and our series titled In Hostile Country. And you're going to remember, I hope, that in Luke's Gospel, all of these parables that take place in this section are taking place as Jesus travels from Galilee to Jerusalem. If the time were to be counted, actually, we'd be talking about a week's worth of walking. The in-between narrative that we find here is a narrative that is between the miracle-rich early ministry of Jesus' ministry up in Galilee, around the Sea of Galilee, in Capernaum, and around the area, and his suffering and ascension. And this kind of little period here that Luke has us in mirrors our own lives as we walk it through this world in our life, in between Jesus' first coming and his second coming. How do we live in a world in which, a world that's hostile towards us? Right? Today's passage gets to the things that we're to be about as we live in this in-between world, and it's bracketed by two parables. The first is the parable of the rich fool, and the second is that of the wise steward. And the first parable sets up the categories in which we are to be thinking about how it is that we move through this world. And as we look at Luke 12, 13 to 48, we're going to be looking at the poverty of possessions, the need that is necessary, the heart that will have, the servant who is ready, and the faithfulness of the forgiven. And before Janie Hughes comes forward to read our morning's passage, let me pray for us. Would you join your hearts with mine? Our Heavenly Father, we come now and we thank you just for all of what it is that we have been softened up and prepared to hear. And so, Lord, just as we continue in worship and as we hear your good news, Lord, we pray that it would find receptive hearts, Lord, and that you would cause it to grow and to bear fruit and to give glory, bring glory to Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Sermon text this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 13 through 48. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, "What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops." And he said, "I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So this is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him, and once he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is the servant whom his master will find doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat male and female servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand more. This is God's word. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Janie. That was a long passage. A lot of reading. Thank you very much. Okay. So, firstly, see how long that is? Let's look at the poverty of possessions. In the midst of his walking and talking, Jesus is interrupted. Now, rabbis during this time were considered judges of a sort. They rendered opinions in the law as to how it was to be applied. And here, a younger brother is appealing to Jesus to divide the inheritance with me, he says. Jesus seems to see through the request, and he renders a judgment, not only against the younger brother, but it appears the elder brother as well. Take care, he says, and be on your guard against all covetousness. That's the judgment, right? For those who are in the kingdom of God, neither demanding what I think is owed to me, nor withholding what I believe is rightfully mine, speaks to answer any real question of what it means to live in the kingdom of God. For one's life, he says, does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Jesus' parable, though, it's not about good farming practice. Right? The proper storage of what it is that you've harvested is of the most importance. Barn building could very easily be a matter of good stewardship and faithfulness. But for the disciple who walks with God, what you have is not as important as what you will one day receive. What you have is not as important as what you will one day receive. Jesus is inviting us to consider matters of first things, of first importance. And to do this, Jesus introduces us to the category of treasure. The Greek word treasure is more readily recognized in our English word thesaurus. Right, so we get our treasure word from the Greek word, but it actually is a borrowed word when we use it as a thesaurus. That's the Greek. Your security does not rest, nor is it dependent upon what you can get your hands on and hold or hoard in this life. Joy, peace, rest, hope, and thanksgiving, they're all welcome intruders into this world, but they're not at home in it. Right? The holidays, as Lewis said, they're yet to come. Nevertheless, right, we start our work week with a day of rest. Right? We start our work by working in this place together the news that we are the treasured of God and that He holds us. To experience that, not just knowing about it, is what we call the joy of salvation. Being possessed by God is of greater value than being possessed by greed. To know that you are the treasured of God diminishes the significance of all other accounts and ledgers that you work to reconcile. So much so, right, that being rich towards God even reconciles elder and younger brothers. So, secondly, the need that's necessary. It's so very easy to be swallowed up with worries and anxieties and concerns, right? Most of the people to whom Jesus was preaching and speaking to were, in fact, living for their daily bread. Subsistence living for most of us is something that we've never experienced and is probably far from, and hopefully is far from our experience. However, being anxious about your life, about what you would eat and about your body and about what you would put on was a present concern for many of those to whom Jesus was preaching. The focus right here is not for us to be anxious about breaking the no anxiety rule. Do you know that rule? Right? The Bible says don't be anxious. And so you say, oh, there's something else I need to not be anxious about. And then it just, you know, it cascades. It's awful. That's not the point. Where you find the answer to your anxiety is the point. It's answered by, you know, is it going to be answered by you having more than enough barns to hold all your stuff? Jesus speaks to our anxiety in three ways. He says, firstly, for life is more than food and the body is more than clothing. Right? Getting up and knowing what you're going to eat today and knowing what you're going to wear today is not your greatest concern. It could be a big one, but it's not the most important thing that you're going to deal with over the course of the day. Secondly, how much more value are you than birds? Right? Do you know as you start your day that your Heavenly Father treasures you? Thirdly, which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of life? Right? Being mentally consumed by adding hours to your life is not the work that you, as a member and a citizen of the kingdom of God, are called to. Now, birds are great preachers, I found. We used to have a bird sit up there in that window, do you remember? There was a season when I preached to a congregation that I think it's surprising that people don't realize I can see them, but we could have just stopped. You know, and this is a little blue bird, and maybe there's a sparrow. He just kind of kept, maybe seeing his reflection, he kept pecking at, trying to get at, you know. Birds are great preachers, right? In order for a bird to preach, you have to sit still long enough in order to see it, to listen to it. Now, here's one of the things that birds preach to me. Birds are busy. Like a bird, you should be busy about your business. Birds don't store up food, but they are relentless and, you know, they continue to look for it. One author imagines that if you could overhear birds scratching on the ground, what you would hear them saying is this food? Is this food? Is this good for food? Is this food? Birds, right, though they're always searching for food, right, their business is fruitful. They find it. They don't sit around worrying about where the food's going to come from. They're always about the business of pursuing what is good for them. Is that what you do with your time? Right? If the Lord provides, if it's the Lord's will, right? If the Lord provides what is good for the birds, will He not provide what is good for you? Right? Having more than you need is not safety. In fact, your focus is much better directed to the things that your Heavenly Father is concerned with. Now, let me just stop there and just say it's important for us to recognize and to acknowledge that there are others in our community and around the world who are fighting to stay alive. Right? They don't know where their next meal is going to come from. It's not our job to say to them, don't be anxious about your life. It is our work as Jesus' disciples to turn our minds to whether or not we have enough of what our Lord Jesus... Let me just make sure I'm going to say this right. It is our work as Jesus' disciples to turn our minds from whether or not we have enough to what is our Lord Jesus Christ calling us to do as we live out of the great wealth of His salvation and mercy. That's where we need to be thinking. Right? If I'm consumed about anxiety about whether or not I have enough to finally rest, I will be practicing for an eternity of restlessness. Right? If I am anxious about whether or not I have enough to rest, if I am living consumed with my thinking of whether or not I have enough to rest, I will be practicing for an eternity of eternal restlessness. We have to rest in Him. And this brings us right to this pointed promise, right, of the profit that will be ours where rest is found. Jesus points us to the heart that we'll have. Your treasure, what you store up, is what is left over from what it is that you need, right? That's a general idea. That's the idea of what profit is. You may want to store it up and keep it. The proverb, consider the ant, right? That doesn't go away, right? Storing up is not a bad thing in and of itself. You may toil and fret over, you know, in order to get what it is that you need and to prepare for what it is to come, right? Those are concerns, but they are not the only concern. Right? We need, as a matter of first importance, right, to be considering the kingdom of God, right? To realize and to understand, right, to work into our hearts that it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, right? That means He gives it. You don't earn it. You don't win it. You don't achieve it. He gives it. You can only receive it. And get this, the Father wants you to have it. It's His good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. The treasure of that kingdom is not something that's kept in a bank or a barn or a purse, not something that you have built, something that you have made, something that you keep. The treasure is kept for you in heaven where it cannot be lost, be stolen, or wear out. The proper depositing place for the treasure of the mercy and grace of the kingdom, Jesus is saying, is the needy. the proper depositing place for the treasure of the mercy and grace of God, of the kingdom of God, is the needy. Selling your possessions and giving to the needy is not a question about you beggaring yourself. It is a matter of investment. The return on depositing what you have with the poor, with the needy, is much greater than the return on your hoarding what you have, your possessions, for yourself. Right? Or making your brother split the inheritance with you. If your heart is with God, your treasure will never be taken from you. Do you think that the Lord is going to allow anyone or anything to steal away His treasure? He will keep it safe, and He will keep you safe forever. Now, in this work of kingdom living, we need to know what we should be setting our attention to, right? And that brings us to the servant who is ready. Right? You're not to worry about your life, but you are to stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast. Readiness changes the way in which you move through a day. Readiness changes what you're paying attention to, what you're focusing on, what you're storing up. And notice the curious sentence right in verse 39. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. I mean, that's like the technical term is that a non sequitur, right? It doesn't seem to cut it as to what's come before. It seems like at this example, I mean, we haven't been talking about thieves. Why is he talking about thieves? It's just been dropped in there without any connection or explanation. And this is a place where the Proverbs are intended to provoke you to ask a question and to work it, right? He's left a big variable, right? There's like a big X or a Y in the middle of the formula, and you have to work it out. The connections implied in the warning, which is made stark by you also, right? You also is the key to connecting what's going on. That is to say that if any master of any house had known at what hour the thief was coming, no master would leave his house to be broken into. In just the same way, you also are being told that the master is coming. So be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Readiness is not your preventing things from happening. It is about your ability to respond to the moment's opportunity. And friends, the kingdom of God comes to you in many ways. There are many opportunities. It comes in a moment of crisis. It comes in a grocery store checkout line. It comes in an unwanted email. It comes in an intrusion, in an interruption into your life. It comes sometimes as a little child or as a poor beggar. Are you ready to receive and respond? Are you ready to faithfully share what has been entrusted to you when the knock comes? And that brings us to the last. It comes in response to this question that Peter asks us about all this teaching and what it is that the disciples are to do with it. Right? In light of where your treasure is, what you need to be focused on, where true rest is found, and the responsibility, I use that and I've stolen it, and it's very helpful. Responsibility sounds like a weight, something that's being laid on you. Be responsible, you know. But if you think about responsibility as being having the capacity for something to come and for you to be able to respond to it wisely, right? Skillfully. That's another thing. And I like that kind of responsibility. the responsibility to receive what's coming to you. Jesus points us to the faithfulness, right, of the forgiven. Who then is the faithful and wise manager, whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Classic Jesus teaching moment, right? He doesn't answer Peter's question, does he? He answers it with another question. It implies that Jesus is saying, yes, Peter, it is for them and it's for you. You have been made a steward of the mysteries of God and his kingdom. You have been given the key to the barn holding the storage, the silage of all the new morning mercies of God. You have received his gracious mercy and are being asked to sell it, to give it to the poor. It isn't the rich storehouse, isn't it the rich storehouse of God's mercy that Jesus has come to unlock and to share with us? Will not the one doing the business of their master be doing just what their master has done? And when the master comes, will they be doing unto the least of these because they are doing as unto him? The difference between those who are taken up with the master's mercy and those who are taken up with themselves will be knife-like in its distinguishing. It will rend apart his servants from the world. Right? We're not being invited into a threat. We have already been given more than we can spend. The question is do you have any apprehension of how much mercy has been shown to you and given to you and shared with you that you have been the recipient of? Or do you think, I'm glad I don't need as much forgiveness as they do? If that's what your gratitude is based on, that kind of purse, friends, has holes. The elder brother, right, our elder brother Jesus is saying to us and rendering this judgment to that first question. And that judgment is, to whom much is given, of him much more will be required. But there's this ironic good news, right? There is more than enough to cover it. Do you live in fear that you are going to run out of the mercy of God? You've repented of the same sin so many times. Are you afraid that you're going to run out of the mercy of God? Brothers and sisters, there is more than enough mercy. Right. This week, it marks a significant week in the life of Grace Kernersville. 32 years ago this week, right, a small group, a core group, just met over there. I'm sorry, is it Kathy? Christy. On Christy? Kathy. On Kathy Lane. 26 years ago this week, this church building was dedicated to the worship and glory of God, right? To be a mission house for God's kingdom and his worship. Our church planting pastor, Steve Angle, in his great hyperbolic way, said that it was going to be a rescue mission. And the neighbors were a little upset that we were going to start a rescue mission on Hopkins Road, not kind of getting Steve's big picture of the fact that we're all needing of rescue. It was provocative enough. It generated some discussion. 4 years ago, just as we were emerging from 2 years of austerity and a pandemic, the Lord's provision allowed us to complete paying off the building mortgage. Has the Lord been merciful to us over these years? Right, we have a great barn that we can meet in and store our stuff in, but will it be a place that we hoard things among ourselves? Friends, all of you, all of your stories, all of what it is that you've endured, your aspirations and desires and commitments and love are a great gift to this town, to your community, right? This building was built for friends. This is what they said, right? This was why, as they began to raise funds to purchase the property and build the building. This building was built as a place for friends we hadn't met yet. And that's you. We're all enjoying the fruit of that. Have we run out of friends? Will we run out of God's mercy? I want you to stop yourself this week. I want you to ready yourself as the Spirit provokes you to take stock of what it is that you have, right? What it is that we have received over the years. And like birds, let's ask, right? Let's just be scratching around at everything and asking, is this mercy? Is this mercy? Is this a place for mercy? Is this an opportunity for mercy? And like good stewards, let's receive the mercy, right? Let's receive the opportunity of the Lord's coming in the face of the least of these that we'll meet this week in grocery store lines and in our places of work and in our neighborhoods. We are so rich. Let's ask Him for more. Let's believe His promise that to him who has, more will be given.